Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a special Sunday edition, not so special anymore, we've been doing it for a few weeks, so a Sunday edition of the Going Old School Show, December 4th of the year 2022 on blogtalkradio.com. We're live at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Let's bring in my co-host. First and foremost, it's John Crow. John, thanks for your time today. What's up, JC? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday to you and also to you, Joe, and we've got plenty of quality matchups on this Sunday without the Patriots.
You got it. What's up, Joseph? Joe Forand, our other co-host here on the Going Old School Show.
And just remember, Sunday show and the special edition is usually happens on Monday. So just an FYI, just a little tidbit.
Yeah, although this is the Sunday edition, so we'll leave that as it may. And we'll get up to, obviously, we'll do the rundown. We'll take you through the rest of the Week 13 slate. We will recap the Bills-Patriots, obviously, and a pivotal game, the AFC's matchup that we saw on Thursday night. Obviously, our route, shout, and bust out if you want to join us. Give us your route, shout, and the bust out. Anything you want to talk about NFL-wise, your favorite team, Patriots, Bills, whatever. We're here for you for the next 60-plus minutes. 515-602-9730. Once again, 515-602-9730. But I did want to start off with a little college because the college football playoff is going to have its final poll as of noontime Eastern. JC, I'll start with you. For me, it's a no-brainer. I'll let you go through your top four, but obviously there are sidebars, there are stories, there are teams that are clamoring to get in, and I'm not going to get in. Somebody's going to be left out. JC, your thoughts on the final four that we're going to see in the college football playoff announced in just a couple hours?
Yeah, my top four, and, you know, I found it amazing, you know, how much chatter there was on social media about trying to get TCU out after their overtime loss. And I wasn't one of them. I wasn't having any of it. My top, Georgia, obviously undefeated. Michigan, number two, undefeated. They took care of business, although some early scares in both of those games against LSU and Purdue. But number three, I got TCU. You know, the fact that how they rallied yesterday against the team they had beaten Kansas State earlier in the year, how they rallied and probably should have won, got stopped at the goal line twice. They're my three, no question, no doubt about it, with one loss. And then at number four, I hate to say it because the Ohio State, they're so full of themselves, you know. But, hey, they got one loss against an undefeated Michigan team. Yeah, they had a crappy second half. But, hey, they're better than Alabama, USC, who choked it away Friday night, you know, and it just, I wish it wasn't four because there are more quality teams to be better for the sport. If it wasn't four, but hey, it's only a couple of years until we get it. So yeah, those are my four. How about you, Joe?
I kind of agree with you, and I get the same thoughts of, like Georgia, I just can't stand seeing Ohio State get slammed at home by 22 points, but yet, yeah, they're the number four. It's like, and for all these Alabama fans and all these fans out there that thinking that TCU loses and you're out, it's like, are you kidding me? This kid could barely make it to the stupid sidelines. He carried his team. Literally, that quarterback carried his team to that touchdown. He didn't even want his guys near him when he scored the touchdown. He was like, they had to carry him off the field. And look, the coach had enough balls to go for it on fourth down, third and fourth down, and he didn't make it. So he was going for the win. He was, and they deserve it. You lose one game in a championship game against a team that got to play a second time, and that's what I've got. I've got the same four as you got, and it's like, I don't see anything different. Georgia, Michigan deserves it, TCU, and then Ohio State. And then, like you said, in a couple of years, so all be said and done, because then you'll have 12 teams in it. So all these, and I kind of like that, because these big boys, the championship will change when it's 12, because the big boys will no longer always be on top, because the ones that they consider also-rans and they don't think they're as good are going to pull a lot of surprises in the future of college football, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I have Georgia as my number one, too. Clear-cut number one, obviously. Michigan, let's get one thing straight. A couple years ago, you were thinking Michigan, and they hired Jim Harbaugh may leave University of Michigan. He's beaten Ohio for two straight years. He's not going anywhere. I don't care what the rumors are. He'd be fooled to go there now. That's a great program, a great organization. And he was kind of under a little hot water there for a few years, but he settled in nicely, and that's a solid team in Michigan at number two. TCU, well, they have six comeback wins this year. They almost had seven. And that's a team, and hey, K-State's a darn good team, ranked number 10 with one of the top defenses in all. That was a quality loss. They're not going to fall. They're going to stay number three in my poll. JC, I'm right with you. Ohio State, send a big fruit basket to Lincoln Riley and USC. Utah is a really good team. USC was playing so well and so poised, and if they get in this Final Four, they could have made a run with the talent on that team, well coached and playing well at the right time. USC is out. But let me say something about Alabama and all the talk. And you heard Nick Saban crying about the call that his two losses were against quality opponents and some of the teams that are above them lose games they maybe should not have. Nick, come on, man. You play Austin Peay 2 weeks ago. You played the Colonels of Austin Peay in a game of the mighty Atlantic Sun Conference. Are you kidding me? To end the season? You don't deserve to be in there. First of all, quality of schedule. I mean, you padded it right there. And you lose two games. That's just the way it is, no matter who you beat or who you lose to. You lose two games. You're not in. You didn't even advance to your conference championship game. And you did not benefit from that fruit labor as well. And, oh, by the way, Pats fans, here's the good news tying into Alabama, because the standards are set in Alabama. You win. You need to be in the Final Four every year. Compete, much less win a national championship. They lost two games by a total of 4 points, one in overtime and one on a walk-off field goal. Offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien will probably be fired. And I'll tell you right now, if you're a Pats fan, that's a guy you want to see on the offensive side of the ball come 2023 next year. So that's the one good thing out of Alabama not making it and the standards they set. There may be an opening as the offensive coordinator because Saban does not stand for that stuff, guys. JC.
Yeah, and, you know, Bill O'Brien would have been here this year if Bill Belichick had the balls to ask Nick Saban, can I have Bill O'Brien? And Nick Saban would have been, sure, I got 1,000 people who can be offensive coordinator at the University of Alabama. So, you know, we could have been without the whole Patricia Judge mess if Bill Belichick had any balls, but he didn't, so they didn't want to, you know, begrudge his friendship with Nick Saban, so we all have to endure instead of the Patriots players. But one final thing on the college football thing, it is unfair that teams benefit by not playing, i.e. Ohio State, you know, or anybody else who could possibly get in. You know, some playing, you're playing obviously a very good opponent in your conference championship game, whether it's LSU, Purdue, Kansas State, Utah, whomever. So those teams have to play an extra game. So it hurts them. It hurt USC. It almost, and I don't think it will cost TCU, but who knows? With this committee, who knows? That shouldn't be. But again, with the 12, it will rectify that in the future. Love to see in the future a Tulane team, as explosive as they are, to get into the mix. You know, there's always one of these teams, whether it be Florida a couple of years ago, Boise State back in the day when they were battling Oklahoma. But the only thing downside I would say about TCU is the Big 12 sucks. You know, they're down. Oklahoma's down. Oklahoma State's down. Yeah. Baylor's down. You know, it was really TCU and Kansas State, and that was it. I mean, Kansas is a faux team, you know. But, hey, you said it right, Chips. You play who you play. You beat them all. Well, you only have one loss. You get in. My heart goes out to a team like University of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
One loss the whole way, and nobody's talking about them. I know they got Hooker, their quarterback, injured, but nobody's talking about them at all, and I almost would rather see them in the mix rather than Ohio State.
Good point. Phil, final thoughts?
Oh, final thoughts is, like I said, I can't wait to the 12 teams. It's like I'm not a big college guy. But I can't stand these guys that think Ohio State's the greatest because it's like you pad you, these big-time college schools pad their schedule every year to give them 3, 4, 5 extra wins a year, and they call themselves great. That's why when there's 12 teams, these 1, 2, 3-loss teams are going to show the big boys just how good or not good they are. So I can't wait till that this happens, because it's like, you know what? The days of padding your schedule and just, like, making yourself look great and running yourself into a national championship, be careful what you wish for. You wish for a bigger bowl scheme, you got it. I don't want to hear the Nick Saban do a crying because you lost the game in the championship. You asked for it, you got it. Come on in.
And it's a little tougher now, and I'm talking parity in college football, which leads me to – I like the 12-team format in a couple of years as well. It gives teams that deserve a shot, some of the underdog teams, some of the – I'm not going to call them Cinderellas, but the Appalachian States, the Coastal Carolinas, teams that are once on schedule because they thought they were a team to pad a schedule of a bigger team. We saw what Appalachian State did to Michigan in the Big House several years ago. I mean, that was one of the first and foremost times you say, okay, a team that you think you can beat may sneak up on you. And that's kind of come the trend every year in college football. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it resonates. And that's why it's good. We saw with Cincinnati last year, which I was a real big fan of, and they got in. Didn't look as well, but it gives teams the chance. And we're going to see with TCU that would not ordinarily be there a chance. And now it'll be spread out more with the 12-team format. I'm all for that. I can't wait. But be that as it may, we'll, at noontime Eastern, the college football playoff final poll will be revealed. Dun, da, da, da. Be that as it may, Blog Talk Radio, going old school Sunday edition, Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you if you want to join us, 515-602-9730, 515-602-9730. Let's recap, shall we, guys? Full disclosure, my disclaimer, I didn't see the game live. I was working. I didn't have Prime. I came home, listened to it on the radio, gutted through it, put on my GameCast, did some work for this show, and I listened to it, watched it on the NFL Network later that night, guys. But, JC, I want to get you, JC and Joe, you start, because my phone felt like it was playing pickleball the way it was pinging back and forth with our group text. JC, I'll start with you on Buffalo's win over New England, pretty resoundingly, if you will.
Put it this way. This is how I felt about that game. It's like you're getting ready for Christmas, and you get this. The first thing you open is like, okay, I've got that accessory to the big toy that you wanted. Then you never opened up the big toy. All you got was the accessory on the Marcus Jones 48-yard, you know, little screen pass, bubble screen. He runs it over, gets the only touchdown of the night. They actually have a 7-3 lead. You're feeling, oh, wait a minute. This coaching staff may have some creativity to it. Oh, my God. Could this be the turnaround? Could we actually? And then it never came. The Bills punched you in the mouth. They dominated you. Not with Josh Allen's, you know, his legs and his arm. Yeah, he had a couple. I mean, that play he had in the sideline where, you know, everybody in the Patriots basically gave up on the play, you know, which is amazing to Davis for the touchdown. But they ran the ball, dominated time of possession, almost 2-1, 38 minutes, 21 minutes. They killed you on third down. They converted 60% of third downs on you, and they just dominated you and said, listen, we know we could throw for 450 on you. Not what we need to do to be a Super Bowl winner.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work on that today. So it's kind of like one of those controlled scrimmages almost. They just work on stuff, and the Patriots could never stop them. And I know we were texting back and forth, and Joe, I don't know, it was driving me crazy. I don't know what it was doing for you, but it seemed like the Patriots, especially defensively, were a little bit in slow motion.
Yeah. Slow motion is like, you said it right. It was like dying of a million paper cuts. It was like, are you shitting me? You're just like methodically picking us apart. Like, yeah, see, Big Brother's just slapping you around. Yeah, we'll let you in the game. We'll keep you in the game. But it's like my cat used to do with mice. Just play around and they, hey, wake up. Come on, I need something to play with. Come on, wake up, get up. Oh, now you're up. Swat. Here you go. Knock you back down again. And it's just, they were just methodically having fun with us. They were out there laughing, joking, like having a great time because they never felt threatened. And frankly, they shouldn't have felt threatened. And Mac Jones said it all with the F-bomb city on the sideline. Patricia, were you listening? Because they won't say who was yelling at. But I can guarantee you Patricia was on the other side of that rant that he was yelling at him because, you know what? Come on, guys. Wake up. And it's like, it was brutal. Reminded me of the 70s and 80s of, yeah, you know, the score may say we're in the game, but no, it felt like a 50-7 game, and it's like we had no shot at all. Even though we were only down by a touchdown, it still felt like we were out of the game because Bills were just having fun. They were just going, they were like getting all these years of getting beat down and just having fun going, yeah, watch, see, we can be big brother. We can do this to you. And it just, it was gut-wrenching at the least of what they were doing to us.
Yeah, but the Bills, like you said, it was cat and mouse. They tore to do. They tore to do. They could have run 50 points up if they wanted to, and that's a long cry from where Buffalo was. They could have really laid the wood to you, and they didn't. Maybe they're working through some stuff. Maybe they're just trying to stay healthy. Who knows? One thing's for sure, that Josh Allen is just – he's on a different level against this team. I don't know if it was back when – I think it was after a game where Parcells – Belichick was, I think it was somebody, JC, didn't Belichick once time kind of downplay Josh Allen and how good a quarterback he was?
Oh, yeah, after a Monday night game. Yeah, he told Brian Greasy that, yeah, it's all the time people talk about Josh Allen. Nah, that's not true. I don't believe in it.
Good point. I'm not sure if it goes back to that, but, man, you want to talk about who's your daddy? The Bills right now are the Patriots' daddy, and that this team is far and away Patriot fans' head and shoulders above you. But let's talk about the other things. Mac Jones' emotional outbursts. We've heard it. We've read the dialogue, the verbiage. Indictment on the coaches, JC. Teams looking. We heard Kendrick Bourne say some stuff. Week 13 and players saying they don't have an identity. One thing's for sure, that as every week goes on, the disconnect, and I'm talking just the offensive side of the ball, is growing ever larger between the players and the coaching staff. JC.
Yeah, no question. And there was this one report, I forget who had it, that, you know, he witnessed one, you know, unnamed coach and one unnamed player kind of crossing paths, walking out of the stadium, and, you know, not a word was uttered, not a "Hey, see you tomorrow," or "Hey, how you doing?" You know, tough night. Anything. You know, no words uttered, and it is. And I think the word disconnect is spot on, in that you're 13 weeks into an NFL season. You're through training camp, OTAs, all this stuff, and still you don't know what kind of team you have and what your strengths are, and you know that's just it's just not something we're accustomed to. You know, long-term with a Belichick team and a Belichick coaching staff, but it's more apropos of what we've seen the last 3 years. And the scary thing about this offense is that Cam Newton offense actually outproduces this one. And we all lived through, you know, that COVID year with Cam Newton, and it was awful. And this is worse because not only are we living it week to week, but you know that, okay, they don't have any plan to make it any better. And that's the scary thing about it. And, you know, while we thought heading into the Vikings and Bills games, you know, you had a little oomph in it. You're like, okay, if we can split there, we can take care of the Cardinals. We can take care of the Raiders. And then maybe we can steal one or two down there and maybe have a playoff spot. That's over because now I'm not sure you can even beat the Cardinals and the Raiders up next.
Yep.
I don't know where this team goes from here.
Hit rock bottom and just, like, implode and just force Kraft to possibly step in because I love Bill, but his ego has got the better of him, and he can't keep on running the team the way he's doing it now because you can't just, like, improvise and think that you could get through the year with – Judge and Patricia as your impromptu offensive coordinator. I mean, and look, second year in a row where they're like, oh, you got a great defense. You're playing bad teams. You got to improve that front seven. Judon can't do everything himself. Uche is turning out to be a pretty good, darn good linebacker. Look, I love Dietrich Wise. I love Lawrence Guy. We need somebody. We miss Barmore big time, and we need somebody to go with him to get some pressure on quarterbacks. But it may be time, and we'll see at the end of the year, somebody may have to build a step aside. And as much as I don't want to say it, but it may be time. Maybe time for changing of the guard, because if you don't want to change, you know, he was always one to change mid-game, and the schemes, he wouldn't have a problem with changing things up. It just seems like this team goes in there and goes, yeah, okay, this is what we're going to do. If you don't like it, oh, well. And they don't want to change up. They don't want to make any in-game decisions all of a sudden. We used to come out in the second half and be a totally different team at times. Now it just seems like they're like, all right, this is what you got. This is what we're giving you, and nothing's going to change. So something's going to change.
Well, a question to you guys, starting with you, JC. Quite frankly, just succinctly, has Bill Belichick earned the right to ride up into the sunset when he wants to?
No. I don't think any coach deserves that right. I mean, when you're talking about $1 billion, you know, company, and that's what the New England Patriots are. I mean, they're more than just a football team. I mean, I don't think you can as an owner, because that value, I mean, you're literally costing yourself $1 billion if you let this thing ride into the ground. And as a businessman, you have to look at that. Sure, it's sentimental to say, well, he built this up with us, he did that, but that's not how business works. If that's how business works, a lot of these most successful companies would be out of business because they were tied to sentimentality. But they know when to make that switch to, okay, this worked for so long, so we wrote it, but now it is not. So we either fix it with that person, or if it's not fixable with that person, you move on. And that's what they need to do, because the game has passed him on. He's just unwilling to work with people he doesn't want to work with. He doesn't want to get players that he doesn't want to coach. That's just not the way you build a successful team in 2022. And it sounds so well. It's great for Bill. It's great for Bill because there's no accountability. He gets to work with you know, yes men who will never question what he does.
Exactly.
So for him, it's great. And on top of that, you get to decide what your salary is. Because according to the reports, that's how Kraft works his coaching money. Gives Belichick a bucket of money. He hires his coaches, which we all know, Judge, Patricia being paid by the Giants and the Lions, so it costs the Patriots enormously less. So Belichick gets that money. If that's true, if the reports are true. It's a horrible way to run it. Because now you don't have guys who are talented on your staff, guys who have a new voice, guys who have a new fresh approach. And that's what they need. That's what they need in Foxborough. I don't know if they're going to get it. I don't know if Bill O'Brien comes back and has some of those new concepts that he's, you know, seen and done with Alabama and in Houston and in Penn State. I don't know. You know, but they need a fresh voice and a new set of eyes on how to do things, or else we're still going to be here next year and the year after talking about the same issue. And that's unfortunate.
What I'm going to talk about is two teams I can't stand. People know I don't like them. But did Chuck Knoll have the chance of just to walk out and ride out into the sunset? No. Did Tom Landry have the chance to just walk out in the sunset and ride out? No, they kind of got forced out because the game was evolving and it was time to move on. Say the same thing about Bill. It's time to move on. Stop letting your ego get the better of you. And I'm tired of these guys kissing up to Bill. Look, and I love Bill, but it's like these guys kissing up on national TV of saying, oh, yeah, they're going to win just because of Bill. No, it's like you put people in the a chance to win. Look, yeah, I know it was Tom and Bill, but you put Tom in a position to win. Bill's not putting his team in a position to win games anymore. They're putting them in position to fail, not win. And when you start doing that, then, no, you need to change because you need to give the team a chance to win if they're going to win. You can't just put them in the position that they're going to fail because you can't coach up players if you don't have the right coaches. You've seen a regression out of a quarterback that second year you thought he would get better, and he's not. You've seen a regression of the offensive line is just getting worse and worse by the day. Granted, you got backups, but it's like you got nobody really coaching them up. Bill, like JC, like you said, Bill wants to work with guys that say yes, no, sir, yes, sir. You need the Scott Pioli's of the world. You need the Tom Brady's of the world. You need the guys, Skarnecki's of the world, that say, I'm going to do it my way, Bill. You don't like it, then get rid of me, but it's going to work my way. And it's like, so you have the give and take back and forth banter that's a healthy banter to help the team. It's never going to work well if you get a yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, okay, okay. No, you need guys that are going to talk back and think of a better way to do it and at least go back and forth to improvise and where to go. And until that happens, we're going to be sitting in the basement for a long time unless something changes drastically, and I hate being in the basement again.
Let's start with the quarterback, because this is the quarterback's second year. And just, you know, think back last year, guys. I mean, he was the talk of the town for a while. He was the talk of the league as about, you know, being having a great season for a rookie quarterback, one of the greatest we've seen, and I'm paraphrasing by some of the talking heads, that we've seen in a long time out of a rookie quarterback. So that's an important year. But the important year in a quarterback, and I've said this ad nauseum, it's its second year because defenses are adjusting. They're filming him now. They're going to see his tendencies. They're going to try and expose some of his weaknesses. This is a critical year under center for Mac Jones in a quarterback-driven league. And I think it's a wasted season with what you did with the guys calling the offensive plays. Listen to what Mac Jones said after the game. And I'll start the comments on the sidelines, and you tell me if this is not a guy whose head is spinning. Obviously, the emotional outburst on the sideline, quote, throw the effing ball, the quick game sucks. That's what everyone heard him say, every week, red lips and whatnot. After the game, he was quoted as saying, obviously, I just kind of let my emotions get to me. What I said was about throwing it deeper within the short game. Then he says, I've got to execute the part better. But it's the short game that we keep going to, which is working. But I felt like we needed chunk plays. I shouted that out to kind of get everyone going. And it's not in front of you to break down, but when I'm reading this, it sounds like a guy who is screaming to say stuff, who maybe is told not to say certain things. Maybe I should say something. Maybe I should back the coaches, but I don't really want to back the coaches. I'm stirring inside my emotion. My head's about to explode, JC. What's going on in this guy's head? That those two quotes told me all I need to hear about a quarterback who is valuable and maybe sensitive to fault, but he's a guy who's confused. And that starts with the guy's support, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I hope it's a turn, because all we've heard since, you know, Matt came back after, you know, the injury and the benching, we went to Zappy, was, you know, hey, I'm backing these coaches. I'm going to do what they, you know, need me to do. Da, da, da. I hope now we have this guy who's going to stand up as a leader and kind of call it out a little bit. And the one part of what he went on after that post-game press conference stood out to me was he said he wanted to be coached harder. And I like that. And unfortunately, I don't think he has the coaches in play in Foxborough that have the ability to do that. We saw Tom Brady, and again, people forget, he wasn't great his first couple of years in Foxborough. He was carried by that defense to the Super Bowl. Did he elevate his game as he went along? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Yep.
He had help along the way to help him mature so that he could recognize things, so he could have those answers to the test. Mac Jones doesn't have time to figure out what the answers are, what the questions are, because he's running for his proverbial life with this offensive line, which I'm sorry, but if you're going to keep saying Matt Patricia is the offensive line coach, He's the one calling the plays. Well, guess what? Offensive line ain't getting it done, so get someone in who can get it done. You want Patricia to call plays? Fine, let him do that. But his primary role on this team was supposed to be, and it's been the worst thing about this team in 2022. So I hope it's a turn, Chips and Joe. I don't know, because you know how it works in that building. Somebody speaks out of turn, everybody comes rushing in and says, don't do that, don't say that, it's not the Patriot way. We don't do that. And next thing you know, they're gone. So I don't know. Where do you see it going, Joe?
As much as I hate seeing owners get involved, I'm with you. It's a business. Kraft is a businessman. If he's a wise and smart businessman, he gets Bill and he gets him in the corner and they have a long, long discussion about it's time for a change and let Bill walk out on a high note. But if not, then it's like you got to kind of force him out. I'm tired of you can't even say hello to the guy walking by him because he's just too big of himself. It worked when you had the players. It worked when you had the talent. The cockiness doesn't work if you don't have the talent. If you don't have the talent and you don't have guys that can make their own decisions, a.k.a. Brady got better as he went along, and he had an offensive coordinator named Tom Brady. He doesn't have that right now. So that means you need a better offensive coordinator, and you just don't have it. We don't have anything right now as far as calling the plays. Hell, we don't even know if the coordinators agree with who should be the starting quarterback. And stop. Stop, people. Stop with the Zappy. He's your backup. You got to find out what Mac is all about. I don't want to hear that you want Zappy. I want to find out if Mac's a guy or not. You've got two more years to find out if Mac's a guy. And you're not finding out anything. It's been wasted this year. Totally waste of time here.
Well, I think we're right back at square one. You want to talk about regressing. I'm not so sure Mac Jones is regressing. I think the team is regressing. You made a good point at it. I think Bay Zappy would have been calling for because we don't know what Mac Jones is. And here's the thing. You needed to find out this year what he is. It's a wasted year at the quarterback position. And that's valuable. Now we have Mac Jones going into next year. I don't know how he's going to finish. But right now, you don't know if he's your guy for the future. You can speculate. I think he is. I think it can work with him. We saw it last year. You don't know. I don't think the team knows. And they need to find that out. And this is the year you needed to make leaps and bounds to find out if he's the guy. And they failed to do that. Not him regressing, but the organization. Not putting him in the best position to win like they did, DC, with Tom Brady his first couple of years to allow him the opportunity to make his game better. Now you're stuck at the same point you were in September. Then you're going to be next August, next July when training camp starts again. Is Mac Jones the guy? Who knows? Because they could be in a quarterback market again after next year at this time. So they failed as an organization to recognize the value of that position, especially what's happened the past 20 years when they had the best in the business, and the value of the organization and moving forward, because every year is their own entity. You can miss a year, the organization. This could happen. We won't know that with this team. That may be very well the case come high water once the season's over. So, hey, the book is not closed on Mac Jones, and it's too bad because I thought for sure you would have some insight as to this guy moving forward. So be that as it may, it's just about playing out the string, and we'll go talk more about the Patriots with Howard Balzer on Wednesday as they prepare for a week from Monday's matchup at Arizona. Chips, Crow.
And Chips, can I say one last thing on that?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Short and sweet.
Do it.
Patriots used to laugh at other teams if they did this. To me, the way they've handled it, it's a fireable offense.
Good point. You talk about Belichick, but I can't think of any logical reason why Patricia and or Judge will much less be doing what they're doing, but maybe not even on the staff or not even on the coaching staff. JC, your final thought on that before we move on. And Joe, you too.
I want them all gone.
Joe?
Look, I want him gone, including his kid. Why is kid even on the staff? It beats the piss out of me. But enough of this. Enough of the family affair. if you can't do your job and you're not doing your job, we need somebody else. I can't believe we're going 2 years, guys have got their heads up their ass and can't get it out. You've got a great defensive coordinator in not his kid, but the other one, and it's like, and there's a couple of coaches. Other than that, they all got to go. Gone.
I would really like to see Bill O'Brien walk in the sidelines as the head coach of this team next year. I really would. I think it'd be an asset. There's a lot of good players out there. He's been with the organization before. He's turned around programs, college. He did a pretty good job at Houston with a bad team at times. Bill O'Brien's a darn good coach, and I think he would fit really well in here, and you might be right to go get him and do what you can. Bob Kraft, hear what I'm saying. Anyway, again, Chips Cohen Joe here for you. Let's finish the rest of this show previewing the week's matchups and our route, shout, and bust out. Let's start with the other games on the slate, starting at 1 p.m. The Pittsburgh Steelers at 4-7 go to Atlanta. 5-7 Falcons can't seem to right the ship and compete with Tampa Bay, who may win the division by fault. But the Steelers off to their worst start under head coach Mike Tomlin, J.C. But Cordell Patterson, dude, all that guy is, does is score touchdowns. Last 2 weeks, just average 5 yards a carry. What a stud this guy is.
Yeah, it's no question. Steelers, you know, they're trying to not have that losing season. They're trying to get back. You know, T.J. Watt hurt again, so we don't know how that will impact. But the battle of the run game, you know. Falcons run it fourth best in the league. Steelers shut it down sixth best in the league. So who will, you know, will Benny Snell be, you know, healthy enough if Najee Harris can't go today? But my question to both of you is, how the hell is Marcus Mariota still the quarterback of the Falcons? Go put in Desmond Ridder and go win the NFC South, please.
I'm with it, John. It's like, you know, at what point do you say, okay, what do we have in Desmond Ridder? Oh, wait, we just said that about the Patriots. But how long do you just let the kid play? Because Mariota's not getting the job done. And if he's not getting the job done and you're better than what people expected you to be, then let the kid play and find out what you have.
Yep.
And he's probably a better option than Mariota, because Mariota has shown over the years what he's good for. He's a good backup quarterback. He's not really a good quarterback. He's not the quarterback for your team. And it's like, so it's mind-boggling, these teams are sticking with these guys, that Mariota hasn't done squat this year. Not enough to just justify. The division's there for the taking, people. Put the kid in there. It's like, you can't do worse than what Mariota's doing. It's like, you've got these, some offensive weapons he could play with. And it's like, I don't know. I just, it's head-scratching what some coaches do around this league.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe and John. I've been the Ritter guy since he was at Cincinnati, and I think I predicted earlier in the year that by week 4 or 5, he would be the starting quarterback. But I think the parity and nobody running away with the division, if Tampa Bay was, what, 3 or 4 games ahead now, which might be a different story, but this is Arthur Smith's fault. The future, you have backup. I mean, no time like the present. You're 5-7. You know, you're teetering on the brink as well. I know you're competing for it. He's not going to fall off. He may give you at least as good an option, if not better, because he came out of that system at Cincinnati. I thought all along he should play him. I agree, JC. He's not doing it. And Arthur Smith was one of the guys I thought was doing a pretty good job coaching. But this should be his downfall, not putting Ridder in. He should have, and I think it should have been a long time ago. Mariota gives you that balance, but you're still not equating 2 wins. And just pull the plug in it, man. Show the league what you have in Ridder and your organization. Agreed. Going to be interesting game there today. But the Steelers on the brink of on their first losing season under Mike Tomlin since he's been tenure at Pittsburgh. Let's move right along. The Denver Broncos go to Baltimore. Denver 3-8 and circling the drain more and more every week. The Ravens have held 4 opponents under 50 yards rushing this season. Last 4 opponents since the merger against an offense that cannot score, JC. 14.2 points per game, and it is unraveling on an hourly basis in Denver.
Yeah, it's no question. You got defensive stars, you know, shouting at Russell Wilson when he's shouting, it's Russell Wilson time. No, it's not. You're down 17-3. Shut up, Russ. You're not cooking today. You know, but the good thing is they're going to clinch something today. They're going to clinch their 6th straight losing season in Denver. So, hey, Nathaniel Hackett, it's been nice. You're parting gift will be the rest of your contract. Go sit on the beach someplace and be an offensive coordinator someplace else next year. But, hey, the Ravens, they will come back today, but they got to fix that offense, man.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson, I know he's struggling with the quad injury, but he's only got 4 touchdowns in the last 5 games. Fix that or you will be one and done in the postseason. I got to win it.
I've got the Ravens winning because, oh, wait, the Broncos aren't a team that will be able to come back on the Ravens today because the Broncos just plain suck, and Seattle ought to be sending them an early Christmas gift for, oh, wait, they get themselves a great, great top 10 draft pick next year, thanks to Denver, trading for Russell Wilson, who was about falling apart. I mean, this guy is like, you thought he was going to be at least not in his prime of his career, but still in the twilight and have good years ahead of him. But, wow, did Denver goof up on this one. This is like the steal of the century for Seattle because it's like, wow, they just like robbed them blind for a quarterback that can't find his way out of a paper bag. It's like, I can't believe he's this bad of a quarterback. Look, Lamar Jackson, I think, is doing up today. They'll win. The defense is going to get the Broncos. I got Baltimore winning easily by at least 2 touchdowns.
I do, too. I have Baltimore. They're going to be subject to my route shot and bust out a little later on in the show. But let me tell you something about Denver. Four letters offensively. Q-U-I-T. I was listening to Albert Breer had a really cool nugget. And he talked about his days in Seattle. Did you know in Seattle that if you were a player, if you were a teammate of Russell Wilson's and you wanted to talk to Russ, you had to go through his PR in order to get Russ to text you back. Boom. See how these stories come out? It's a testament now how well they did with Russell Wilson. I trust Albert Breer, they're good sources. How well Seattle did with Russell Wilson being that type of person. And we're seeing that in Denver. He's got his own offense. And Nathaniel Hackett is going to pay the price. We're never going to know how good a coach he could have been in Nathaniel Hackett because he's got a guy who alienates his own team under center. And that's a sad thing. Baltimore, they'll win today. For sure. Okay. Packers off to their worst start since 2006. Go to Chicago. And we know Aaron Rodgers wants to play the Bears, JC. But the question is he healthy enough? And when should Jordan Love, if any, start seeing some more time on the center?
Yeah, it won't be today because Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers says he got some good news on his, you know, on his ribs and his thumb, and he's going to play. And hey, he's the owner of the Bears. You know, he beats them today. He's gonna be the all-time winner. He broke Brett Favre's tie of 24 wins against the Bears. You know he's going to do it. I hope Justin Fields comes back and runs for about 200 yards the way Jalen Hurts ran for a 157 last week against the Packers. It just dominates because it would do nothing better than to see Aaron Rodgers again on the bench and Jordan Love, who I agree with you, Chips, you need to find out because Aaron Rodgers will not be in Green Bay next year. Guaranteed. But I tell you, it's the Packers and the Bears. The Packers always win, right?
And it's funny because, you know, here we go. Another quarterback needs to be sitting on the bench and another young kid to find out, well, what you've got. Because at 38 years old, the stubborn mule in Aaron Rodgers is not letting the kid play. And here we go. Are you really going to make the playoffs 4-8? Do you really have a shot? No. Let the kid play. Find out what you got. You got this kid, Christian Watson, that seems to be a pretty decent receiver. And it's like, you know, so, you know, you'll hear about this game later in my route, shout and bust out, too, because it's like not on the route or shout, but something else. But I've got the Bears pulling this one out because, oh, Justin Fields is going to have a field day running the ball against the Packers.
I'm not so sure the Bears should be – they've been careful of Justin Fields, too. I know he's got the separated shoulder on the non-throwing on his non-throwing arm. He says he's fine, but he's a gamer. But be careful, Chicago, because he's your future. He's your asset. He's your blue chip, if you will, head moving forward. And he looks pretty darn good doing it, but he's still dinged up. The winner of this game will determine which team has the most regular season wins in the history of the NFL. Each team sits at 786. So for you old school history buffs, whoever wins today's Bears-Packers game will be the winningest team in the history of the National Football League. I like Green Bay today. They've won the last seven in the series. So anyway, moving right along. Two teams on the up and come. 4-7 Jaguars go to Detroit against the 4-7 Lions. Jaguars have won two of the last three. They're only lost to the Chiefs. Detroit has won three of the last four. They're only lost to Buffalo, JC. Could be a shootout here with the defense of the Lions allowing a league-high 28.2 points per game. Your thoughts?
Yeah, pick the over in this one. And how about this? The Jags are 1-21 in their past 22 road games.
Ugh.
But the Lions are winless in their last 11 against the AFC. So it's the proverbial, you know, something's got to hit the fan here. Somebody's got to win unless we're going to have another die again. God help us with the Colts and the Texans week one. But, hey, the Williams boys for the Lions. Keep an eye. Jamal Williams, 13 touchdowns, tops in the league. But Jameson Williams is going to get some snaps. Coming back from that knee injury suffered at Alabama. Good thing. So, you know, if you want a feel-good story today, this is the game for you. If you don't have any dog in the fight, you got Sunday ticket, watch this game.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a good Sunday. I got the Lions winning.
Of course you get it's a feel-good story. You'll hear about it later with me because – but I've got Trevor Lawrence having a good day against the Detroit Lions. I know they're only 1-20, like you said, JC, but I think last week they finally won a game that they've been losing since he came in. Jaguars had never won a game. They were losing the fourth quarter. They finally won a game last week. I think they get over the hump. I think they beat Detroit as much as I like Detroit. I think Detroit's playing well for their coach, and they've only lost to Buffalo. And which gave him a shot. That Buffalo loss was the only chance they had it ever going undefeated in the month of November, but they couldn't get that done. I've got Jacksonville in this game. In a close game, I got Jacksonville by 7.
I like Detroit today. I think they found something. They only lost to Buffalo. It was real close on Thanksgiving Day. They would have been the 4-0 in the month of November. I think they found something. The response to their coach. Detroit's doing something right. 1-6 to be 4-7. And they looked like they were circling the drain again, but they somehow risen from the ashes, if you will. They could easily be 5-6. I'm not going to say easily. Let me take that back against Buffalo because Buffalo just seems to win. But they could be 5-6, Detroit. And we're singing a whole different tune. I think they found something. I like the Lions today at home to get their fifth win of the 2022 campaign. All eyes on the return of Deshaun Watson in Houston as Cleveland gets their franchise quarterback, if you will, to go against his former team after a long, long time. Last time we showed this on Deshaun Watson, it was in 2020 when he led the NFL with 4,823 yards passing, 33 touchdowns. But he's going to have to psychologically shut out all the noise because if you saw any of that stuff this week, man, he's going to get peppered and peppered. When he puts that helmet on and when the game starts, that's going to be his happy place with Deshaun Watson, JC.
Yeah, there's no question. 700 days, you know, missed entire last season, all of this season so far with sexual assault, lawsuits against him. And Houston, be vocal. Voice yourself.
Yep.
I hope he gets covers it well. You know, obviously we won't see the game here in New England, but, you know, if you have signed a ticket, you can do that. Or NFL Plus, you can see it there. You know, but I hope CBS does it as a journalistic story because that's what it is. The good thing for the Browns and Watson is he'll have rust, but he's got one of the best run games in the league with Chubb and Hunt, and he's facing the Texans who couldn't stop the three of us. We could get 200 yards on them. So he's just going to have to hand it off, you know, if he gets into it and work his way back. You know, as much as I would love to see the Texans win this game,
mm-hmm.
just for karma reasons, I don't think they can do it. I think the Browns win by double digits.
I've also got the Browns coming. Look, it's like I'm not a fan of Watson. It's like Deshaun, as a football player, he's a good player. He seems like he could do some special things. He could help Cleveland get the 5-7 and maybe keep their slim, very slim playoff hopes alive. But, yeah, I don't see Houston doing anything to stop him on his day back because Houston's not a very good team. They've got a long way to go to rebuild that franchise. So I've got Cleveland by at least double digits myself.
Yeah, I like Cleveland big in this game, too. I think he's going to shut out the noise. If Houston had any talent overall, they'd be in this game. But I think Watson will be motivated. I know the players are motivated because now they feel like they have a franchise quarterback, and who knows how that's going to shake out on the field. Hey, he's the highest completion rate of any player with at least 1,500 attempts at 67.8. But, JC, when I'm jotting down notes, I couldn't help thinking, guys, when we were talking to Sean Salisbury a couple of years ago, when Sean, remember, called him the second biggest asset in all of football. And at the time, because he was the guy. Now, can he get that back? On the field, he's a stud. I think we're going to start seeing that today. But that's a player who's still pretty darn young. And say what you want off the field. I don't condone any of it. I think it's shameful. It's a disgrace that he's playing at this point. But when he balls out, and he'll start today. Cleveland big over the Texans in Houston. One of the marquee matchups today. The New York Jets at 7-4 go to the 9-2 Minnesota Vikings. Mike White back in the fold last week, 22-38, 315, three touches, no interceptions. Is he the guy, JC? If he leads into victory today over a Vikings team that's 9-2 in Minnesota, albeit a very suspect defense, put it this way. If the Jets win today and their defense behind Sauce Gardner can shut down Justin Jefferson, do I dare say the Jets could have a championship-caliber defense?
Oh, yeah. I think that's true. I think they're a legit top-five defense in the league, and they just need, kind of like in the Mark Sanchez days when they ran into the AFC Championship, they went to Pittsburgh, they went to Denver, and win them. But he had to manage the games. And I think that's what Mike White has to do, whether it be Zach Wilson later on in the year and he gets his way back in. But, yeah, I mean, if you're a Jets fan, you're feeling saucy, man. I mean, he doesn't have to shut down Justin Jefferson because that doesn't happen, right? All you have to do is contain him. You know, a 5-6 catch day for, like, 89 yards and a touch, I'll take that. Take that if I'm the Jets. Because let Thielen, let Hockenson, let Dalvin Cook contain those guys, and you're probably going to walk out of Minnesota with a win because the Jets offense is now has the ability to score 24-plus points. And that might be all they need in this game. And as much as I would love to go with the Jets today, I just don't like them that much deep down inside of me anymore. So I think Kirk – hey, I'm just being honest here. Kirk Cousins has figured it out. When it's a close game, which I expect this to be, one-score game, fourth quarter, the Vikings have won all 8 of them. I expect it to be 9 Vikes by about 4 today.
Look, I like what the Jets are doing, but I remind all Jets fans what happened last time Sam White decided as a quarterback. He had an excellent first game. Second game, reality sets in. As you like to say, Chips, teams get a book on him. They get film on him. They get to see what his tendencies are, what's good, what's bad. You also remember that Bears team they beat last week is the most woeful defense you're going to find in the NFL, even though the Patriots couldn't figure that one out. But that was – he had a field day. I like the Jets. I like where they're going defensively. Offensively, they're not there yet. I see Minnesota. Minnesota's going to better than you think defense. And – still, you know, everybody's about Jefferson with Sauce Gardner. Well, everybody forgets that he got Adam Thielen and Hockenson, an excellent tight end that the Jets will have to deal with. I've got Minnesota, believe it or not, by 2 touchdowns because I just think Minnesota's a better team. Every time New York is time to step up to the plate and show what they've got and that they're the real deal, they've struck out. They swung and missed. So I've got Minnesota at least by 10 this week.
I disagree wholeheartedly, Joe. They stepped up twice after Patriots losses in one game, so they stepped to the plate. They've matured this Jets team. Hey, their defense, number 5 overall, 12 against the rush, 8 against the pass. Their scoring defense against is number 4. They're 4-1 on the road, so defense travels with this team. I like him today because I don't think Mike White has to go out and win the game. And last time Mike White did play after he torched Cincinnati, they did not have this good of a defense. I think they can get after it. I think they can put pressure on Cousins. I think they can neutralize Dalvin Cook. And Thielen has lost a step. He's still a darn good receiver, but he's lost a step. If they can contain Jefferson, because they're not going to stop him, they're right in this game. And the Jets have the best record after 11 games since 2010 when they went to a championship game. They're winning today. The Jets are winning this game on the road. I'm not going to say the score. It's going to be close. I like the Jets' defense travels, and I think they're playing really well. They're getting a little confident. They're feeling good about themselves. And now they have a quarterback under center with a backup quarterback who's saying the right things in Zach Wilson and is still the future. I think Saleh's handling the situation really well, not committing to White for the future. Game by game by game. It's game by game today. Jets go to Minnesota and they win this game. They have to go up to 8-4. So interesting. That's one of the games on the matchup. Another New York team, kind of going in a different direction, JC, as they take on the Washington Commanders. The two teams going in opposite directions. The Commanders 7-5 against a 7-4 Giant team. Giants are number 7 in time of possession, but something's missing from the Giants. Injury depleted, JC, if you will. We've talked about them maybe hitting the bell curve and on their way down. Your thoughts on today's Giants Commanders matchup? One team going in one direction, the other in the other.
Yeah, no question. And the Giants 0-5 last five games against the NFC East.
Yep.
You just can't do that in the division and be a playoff team. And you're right. This is a referendum game. I'm Ryan Daboll. Get Saquon Barkley going early, or your team's gonna lose again. And because this Commanders team, even without Chase Young, the defense has turned it around. Tyler Heineke, he was 5-1 since he was, you know, back as quarterback in place of Carson Wentz. Hey, it's the Commanders, they're the fourth best defense in the league right now, and they're doing it on third down. And so if you're the Giants, and I think they get back, I think they get it back today. I have enough faith in Brian Daboll to figure it out today. He will get it done. Barkley runs for 100 and a touch. Giants by a field goal.
Like it.
It's a good, this is one of the better games of the day, I think, because it's like you got it, the NFC East facing each other. They always play each other tough. I like what Washington's doing. But I also, with you, JC, of thinking that the Giants get something done and get Barkley enough touches and he gets enough yards, breaks him down, wears him down in the fourth quarter, breaks him out in the fourth quarter. And I've got him in a close game. I got the Giants over the Washington Commanders in a close one-score game.
I'm going the other way, just because I think the Giants' injuries to the offensive line with that tough defense. I think Chase Young, he's on his way back. I'm not sure he'll see fully action today, but I think he'll see some sort of action. That's a boost. That's a boost to that defense, which is really playing well. And Heineke, they're a different person. Terry McLaurin, one of the better underrated receivers in the league. This team can find ways. When they get in a groove, they get in a groove. And if one team believes in quarterback, they can do good things. I like the Washington Commanders to go on the road to beat a Giants team, who I think is going in the other direction. You guys talk about against the spread, Giants 8-3 this year, Washington 7-4-1. So you, for you betting people out there, I don't know what the line is, but keep that into your betting system, if you will. Another great game on the docket. Bang, 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 one after another. The 7-4 Titans go to Philadelphia, the 10-1 Philadelphia Eagles. A.J. Brown game, J.C., against his former team. Brown this season, 53 receptions, 831 yards, 7 TDs, averaging 15 yards a catch. Your thoughts on the A.J. Brown Bowl in Tennessee? Tennessee just getting it done?
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have to make sure that they don't make it all about A.J. Brown. You know, don't try to force things too much. Obviously, you want to get him his touches, get him involved, you know, especially early. Maybe get him a bubble screen early, get him involved, get him a hit. But to me, it's Jalen Hurts on the ground versus Derrick Henry on the ground. You saw what the Bengals did to Derrick Henry last week, 38 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Stifled him. Titans only scored 13 points. Couldn't get anything going in that game. But it's more than just the Bengals. I mean, Derrick Henry, the last couple of games, last three games, he's only averaging 2.78 yards per carry. This is very, very distressing if you're Tennessee, because Ryan Tannehill, he's had that ankle injury. This hasn't been the same this year. And they just have trouble scoring. Yes, they have this great record, but the only team they've beaten is the Commanders that have a winning record. So keep that in mind. I do think the Eagles are more effective with the ground game, and they come out with that 11th.
I've got the Eagles because I don't have A.J. Brown doing all the damage. I've got Devonta Smith doing the damage because, go ahead, double covered A.J. Brown. Devonta Smith has proven this year time and time again that you want to shut down Brown, then you've got to deal with 1B for their wide receivers. And Jalen Hurts needs to be getting the ball when he needs to if he's not getting to A.J. Brown. I look for Devonta Smith to have a whale of a game of eight catches, over 100 yards, couple of touchdowns because, you know, they shut down Brown, but you can't shut down everybody. I just see the Eagles overcoming the Titans, and I don't see Titans running game doing much. Maybe he may get 75, 80 yards today. I don't see him getting over 100. I know the Eagles have not a great run defense, but if you keep on getting it thrown into your thick skull this week, that like they're going to run, they're going to run, they're going to run it down your throat, that I think the Eagles come out of this game and they win another close one against the Titans.
Yeah, DC, you hit on it. At some point, your biggest offensive weapon cannot be your running back. And we've seen Derrick Henry. He's been great. But he's going to wear down. And some of those running backs, they wear down awfully quickly. And maybe we're seeing that now. Had an injury last year. Started out again. The seasons get longer. The people are pounding you. At some point, that's wear and tear on a running back's body. We may be witnessing that now. I think if the Titans need to have success for the future, and I'm talking immediate, we got to see more from Treylon Burks. We have 24 catches for 334 yards on the season, but 11 for 181 in his last two games. That needs to continue, and he can fill the shoes of A.J. Brown because they're going to need more of that if you're going to key on Mr. Henry in the backfield to stop in order to beat the Titans. This game is going to be a subject of my route shout and bust out later on in the show, so I'm going to refrain from picking it. I will get back to you in a little while longer. Chips, Grow, and Joe here for you on the Going Old School show as we move on to the 4 o'clock matchup starting at 4:05, the 6-5 Seahawks. Go to the L.A. Rams. Aaron Donald missed his first game of his career, J.C., but the Rams, man, worst start for a defending Super Bowl champion ever. And, man, they're just beaten up and not going anywhere in L.A.
Yeah, last healthy person, you know, turn off the lights in L.A. for the Rams, and this will be the subject of the route shout and bust out for me as well. But, you know, you're right. If they lose, first Super Bowl champion to have a losing season since the 2003 Bucs. We'll pick this one momentarily.
Oh, look, Seattle and the Rams, look, I got Seattle bouncing back. And look, say what you want, you guys, with the road shout and bust out with this team. That division always seems to play itself tough no matter what plays out there, no matter who's playing. It's just like it's like any other division, divisional flow. But I've got Seattle in this game and handily beating them in because, like, is Aaron Donald playing? You know Stafford's not playing. You're down Cooper Kupp. So, it just unfortunately, the Rams, as much as they're tanking, the Detroit Lions should thank them for every loss they get because that's another first-round draft pick for the Lions that maybe get a real quarterback for that team, but that's beside the point. I've got Seattle plus 10 against the Rams in this game.
This game is a subject of my route shout and bust out in a few moments, but one note where the Seattle gave up 283 rushing yards to the Raiders last week, obviously with Josh Jacobs, a lot of that in the 80-yard run, but that's been the most under a Pete Carroll coach team since 2000. So if you're the Rams, you need to run the ball. And all these scuttlebutt about, and we're hearing it about McVay maybe moving to the Prime Video booth. Don't do that, McVay. You know, stay with your team a couple more years and try and get back. Don't bail on your team after winning a Super Bowl when you can get back there. Just reestablish yourself. You put the team in position by mortgaging the future draft for a team you won a Super Bowl last year, kudos to you, but stay there a little longer and see it out a little more. Don't bail on your team just yet. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Another great game on the schedule. 8-3 Dolphins go out west to the Niners. 7-4 San Francisco 49ers, JC. This game's got all the good stuff. Top defense against the top offense. How do you see it shaking out, my man, Jay?
By the way, if you're Bob Kraft and you hear rumors that Sean McVay is going to leave the Rams and go to Prime, as we heard before this season, Yeah. I'll double whatever Bezos is going to pay you to come to Foxborough and take it. I digress. The best game that the nation is not going to see, the Dolphins of 49ers. And this will be the subject of my shout in just a minute. But what a great game. What a great game. And we're not giving Tua Tagovailoa enough credit. The dude's 14-2 in his last 16 starts. I mean, McDaniel against Kyle Shanahan. I'm taking McDaniel all day long. It's just a feel-good story with the Miami Dolphins. But 40 years of hating them, I can't pick them in this game. The reason why is because the 49ers defensively are just that damn good. I mean, six straight quarters having a lot of points. They haven't surrendered a point in the second half in their last four games, all wins, obviously. Nick Bosa, 11.5 sacks. They will figure it out. And the good thing offensively, now with his boy Jimmy G back in the fold and, you know, in that weekly grind, George Kittle is starting to rally again, feeling good about himself. Three touchdowns in his last four games. 49ers, last-second victory, 28-24.
Look, I may hate the Dolphins. I've always said they would get up there quicker than the Bills, but they didn't. But, look, as much as I like Tua, and Tua, it's all based off timing. It's all based off everything. The 49ers have too much speed in the linebackers. They can cover those little slant routes that take away Tua's options. 49ers have a better pass rush than Tua's faced in the last 4 weeks, so they can get pressure on him. And as much speed as you have, Patrick Mahomes can attest to this, on the outside wide receivers, if you get a pass rush and pressure them, then the timing routes aren't there. Mm-hmm. I like the 49ers. I like where they're going. They're a real threat to the Eagles as far as the NFC Championship goes. And I've got the 49ers in this game winning it at home.
Great matchup. The Dolphins, number 3 overall offense versus the 49ers, number 1 defense. Doesn't get much better than that. Tua owns the NFC. 17 touchdowns, 3 picks, has a 114.4 rating in 8 starts, and he is 7-1 versus the NFC. Having said that, I like the defense of the Niners, JC. I just do. I think maybe the Dolphins, this may be a game where they just maybe fall a little bit short and a learning experience. But a San Francisco team that's a couple years removed from a Super Bowl, getting their swag back. Jimmy G hasn't thrown an interception in 137 attempts, which is the longest of his career. They're rolling at the right time, this Niners. They're 7-4, but they're playing like a 10-1 team. Pretty simple. Niners win today. They beat the Dolphins in San Francisco. And the reason that game is not going to be seen is because the bigger marquee matchup, arguably, are the Kansas City Chiefs going to Cincinnati to try and get revenge on the Bengals, who are 7-4. Bengals have won 7 out of the last 9. Kansas City's won 5 straight. Your thoughts, JC?
Yeah, big news this morning. Frank Clark battling an illness and is now questionable for the Chiefs. Huge, huge thing. Hopefully he can play, because marquee matchups like this, you want to see everybody at their best playing in this game. And the Bengals, a couple of guys coming back. Jamar Chase back from the hip injury after missing 4. Joe Mixon hopefully coming back from the concussion. Offense. And for the Bengals, it comes down to turning the ball over. They're 12-2 when Burrow does not have an interception. So that's going to be the key for it. The Chiefs have been very good at trying to force those turnovers. I've been going back and forth every day this week, and I think my fantasy football team is kind of creeping into this one.
Yep.
I got the Bengals because I have Jamar Chase on my team squeaking out. I mean, you talk about 11 catches, over 200 yards, 3 touchdowns last year. Is he 100, truly 100%, or is he a decoy today? That will be the key. But I got the Bengals in a squeaker as the Chiefs try to go for their first win in Cincinnati since 1984. I was still in high school.
That is the marquee matchup of the day, because you know they're hyping up last year's AFC Championship game, which seems to be the Kansas City Invitational over the last 4 years, because it always seems to be played at Arrowhead over the last 4 years. I like this game. I like, but can the Bengals put pressure on Mahomes and make him run out of the pocket, because he's got too many weapons. The running game has made a huge difference for Kansas City this year. He's, as you like to say, Mr. Chips, is they've got three tight ends compared to one last year, and it's like these kids, they seem to be using them. I've got the Chiefs, unlike UJC, in a sneaker, and I've got the Chiefs winning by a field goal in this game.
I think Juju Smith is going to play. He missed practice early in the week due to an illness. Old Bengal Carlos Dunlap now suits up in KC. He's one of 60 players to reach 100 career sacks. I think that's a little bit of an advantage, because I think he can make some plays. But here's why I'm picking the Chiefs, guys, and I said it the day it happened. AFC Championship game last year, on the field, Lisa Salters is interviewing Joe Burrow. This is right after they won. And I can't remember, I'm paraphrasing what she had said. She said, Joe, you're going to the Super Bowl, how does it feel, or something to that. This is a quote. Mr. Burrow, we beat, in my opinion, the second best team in the AFC twice in January. I think that if we didn't prove it today, I don't know how else you prove it. And if you don't think the Chiefs have been playing that back in their minds and on chalkboards and on their tablets and on their phones all year long and on the coaching staff in the meeting room, you'd be crazy. This game today is personal, not only for the team, but Patrick Mahomes. Watch his eyes today, because he is going to be focused. This is a personal game for Mr. Mahomes. He's going to blur. They could be playing on Pluto, and he's going to be seeing nothing but the Bengals. I think he's going to be focused. He's going to spread the ball around. I think if the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, they win this game. If I'm a betting man, and I'm not, I bet the Chiefs. I think the 2.5-point favorites. Just based on that, they've had this game circled on their calendar since that day, and they don't forget it. And there's been some tweeting back and forth between some of the D-backs and the Bengals. So there's a real genuine dislike for these teams. This is going to be a real physical game today, guys. I like the Chiefs in a close one in Cincinnati. All right, Chargers, 6-5. Go to the Raiders, who are 4-7. JC, the Raiders turning it around, win a couple games. Josh Jacobs running the heck out of the ball. Too little, too late, JC, for Josh McDaniels and the Raiders.
And it might be too little too late for them to keep, you know, Josh Jacobs, too. How do you not pick up the fifth-year option on that guy? But, you know, win this scrimmage out last week against the Seahawks in an overtime win. But, hey, one thing you can count on if you're betting, close game. 6-7 decided by one score between these two. Earlier this year, Chargers beat them 24-19 in week one. The Chargers, they don't want to see Josh Jacobs. They average 5.4. Four yards per carry allowed on the ground. Oh, my goodness. It's going to come down to that. If they can stop Jacobs, they will win. If they can't, they will lose. I think they do just enough. Herbert scores enough, and the Chargers get out another one-score victory against that Redhead.
I like the Chargers in this game, because it's like just Chargers, I think, we moving ahead, and look, they're playing for their playoff life, and it's like the sense of urgency depends on how healthy they are and how healthy they can stay. And look, if you can stop Mr. Jacobs from running the ball all over you, you've got a better shot at winning. I've got the Chargers in this game.
I like the Chargers, too. They've got a pretty good, you know, Herbert notwithstanding hasn't had a 300-yard passing game since week four versus Houston, because his receivers haven't been fully healthy. But the 6-5, that was a big win last week. We called it a litmus test of sorts, and they went out. The gunslinger coach got it done with a two-point conversion to win it. But their special teams, giving up a league low 3.9 yards per punt return, have made 18 consecutive field goals. That's pretty impressive. That'll win you games, guys. I like the Chargers to go to put another nail in the Raiders' coffin and a really disappointing year out there in Sin City. Let's move to the Sunday night matchup. One thing's for sure in Dallas is that based on his horrible clock management by Jeff Saturday last week, the interim tag is not coming off on him anytime soon, guys. That was an abomination. He's double back, not double backing it, but he's talking about a mistake, not doing the right thing. But That's an Indianapolis Colts team at 4-7, and the bloom is off the rose of just Saturday emotionally because now it's settling in. He's just not the right guy for the job, and that could get ugly in Dallas, JC.
Yeah, there's no question. Maybe he was studying the Mike McCarthy game management portfolio for that one because, you know, neither one of those guys can figure out how to do anything the end of halves or end of games. But Colts, they do one thing well. They can't protect the quarterback. You know, they've already got Matt Ryan hurt once this year with a shoulder injury, allowed 43 sacks. Yeah, the Cowboys do something well, 45 sacks. They get to the quarterback behind Micah Parsons and crew. So, hey. This one could get ugly. Could get ugly early. The Colts can't stop the pass rush, allow sacks, make 21 turnovers, the most in the NFL, along with the Saints. Yeah, this one could get ugly early. Cowboys big.
I will defer this one because this is part of my route shout and bust out because I get this game penciled all over the place. As much as I hate the Cowboys, I'll defer this one to at the end.
Well, Joe, you're going to like this. I like Dallas, too, but with Dallas defensive coordinator Dan Quinn against Colts quarterback Matt Ryan, do we see this game end in 28-3 today or 28-3 at the half or at some point? Because you know it's coming, right?
You can only hope.
I see that happening.
Anyway, I know you're picking it later. I like Dallas, too. Pretty big today. Staying, you know, the third straight elite running back in Jonathan Taylor. They shut down the pass two in Dalvin Cook and Saquon Barkley. They will do it today to Jonathan Taylor, who's about all the offense that Indianapolis has, and they're playing off the string in India's in Dallas today. But let's go to the Monday matchup. Sneaky good game in the NFC South, JC. Tampa Bay, that lost last week, I mean, to the Browns in OT. I'll tell you right now, after today, they go to San Francisco in their home versus Cincinnati. I thought that Tampa Bay would kind of, you know, maybe put a little distance between them and Atlanta last week. They didn't do it. And I'm not sure if they're going to get it done against a Tampa Bay team. Listen to this stat. The Saints have won their last four games in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium. And over the last nine quarters, they've outscored the Buccaneers 54-3. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and unfortunately, they offensively, they just don't have enough anymore. I mean, that first game, people forget, that was a 3-3 game with 8 minutes left to go. And
yep.
Then Jameis Winston, you know, turned the ball over a couple of times, go the other way, and all of a sudden, you know, the Bucs win 20-3. And now they're with Andy Dalton, who's Mr. Chase, and, you know, playing in Arizona, wants to score a couple of picks. But, you know, they got shut out in San Francisco last week. They, you know, they can't use Kamara successfully. Michael Thomas is out. You know, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. You know, go back to Winston. At least air it out a little bit. You know,
yeah.
Get Olave involved early in the games and give yourself a chance because they are still a good defensive team. But, you know, at one point the Saints owned the Bucs, you know, and Tom Brady. But they don't anymore. You just wonder if the Bucs want it, you know. Every day there's a new story about Tom Brady wanting to come back to Foxborough and, you know, can't stand it in Tampa and wants to be happy again. Well, we all want to be happy, but your Bucs should be better than a sub-500 team in that division. They get back to 500. It's not going to be pretty, though. It's not going to be pretty, unfortunately. You know, the Saints get Marcus Lattimore back. Maybe that will help them. But the key to Tom Brady in that offense is finding some way to wake Mike Evans the F up. Because
yep.
That is just a sleepy connection. The last seven games, no touchdowns. They just looked at like they're off sync. Maybe he wants a divorce from him like he got one from Giselle. I don't know. There's just something not right there. You know, it's trying to be played out at some point. But, yeah, the Bucs, and, you know, until they prove otherwise, the Saints can't score. So the Bucs will win in an ugly game.
Oh, I'm with you, JC. This is an ugly game because it's like Tampa Bay can't get their feet out of proverbial sand on this. It seems like, you know, as much as you got weapons on the offensive side for Tom, they just can't, for whatever reason, can't get on the same page every week in, week out. Mike Evans has just not been there. He's had some uncharacteristic drops. Julio Jones, I thought, would make a difference for him, and he hasn't now that he's healthy. Rashad White should be a good running back, and they should be able to run the ball because he seems like he's pretty good. He's looking like he
I thought he would be better than what he was last week. I've got Tampa Bay in a very – I got maybe last possession on this one as far as Tampa Bay beating New Orleans. It just – New Orleans just can't seem to get on the same page as getting a quarterback, for one. But I've got Tampa Bay in a squeaker.
Trend continues, guys. Five in a row for the Saints. They go into Tampa and beat them again. I don't think Tampa's there yet. I really don't. Now I question it after last week. You had to win that game against Cleveland with Jacoby Brissett and his swan song, and they didn't do it. They lost in overtime. I don't care where that game was played. They just don't. They're not the same team, man. And they may win this division by fall, but it's going to get really interesting today when they fall to 5-7, and the New Orleans is 5-8, and then it's all bets are off for the next few weeks. But I'll tell you right now, it's going to get interesting in that South. I still think the Buccaneers could win it. They could win it with an 8-9 record. But after today, they dropped to 5-7. New Orleans today. I mean, tomorrow night in the upset. A few minutes left in the show. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Just a programming note. Wednesday, we will talk with Howard Balzer. Obviously, we'll get a peek into the matchup the following Monday between the Arizona Cardinals and the New England Patriots. We'll also check in on the MLB as the winter meetings go and get underway today. By Wednesday, they'll be in full force, and we'll probably find out that Hein Bloom and the Red Sox have done absolutely nothing or very little. So we'll keep you abreast on that and what they do and what they don't do and every other team does to better themselves other than my beloved Boston Red Sox, damn it.
Hey, they signed Coldplay's Chris Martin, damn it.
Woo! I know. Coldplay's Chris Martin. Love it.
Hey,
yep.
Stop crying about those Tier 2 and Tier 3 free agents that are all coming to Boston. Relax,
yeah.
Boys.
Yeah,
tier 2
right.
And Tier 3, get used to it.
Right. We'll have 9 utility players suiting up next year on opening day. Love it. Best thing ever. All right. There we go. Can you go, guys? All right. We'll go with the route, shout, and bust. Let's start out with the route. We'll go the same order. JC, who is your route today, buddy?
My route today is the Seattle Seahawks over the Rams because, hey, the Seahawks let up, 280 yards rushing from Jacob last week, but, hey, they're facing the Rams who don't have anybody. They only average, when they're healthy, 79 yards a game. Can't get it going, and, hey, no Stafford, no Kupp, no Robinson, no Donald on defense, no offense for the Rams. Seahawks by 17.
My route is a team that I'm not a fan of, but the boys are going to route the Indianapolis Colts. Look, if you thought the Patriot defense had a field day with the Indianapolis offensive line, the Cowboys defense, that defense, Micah Parsons is going to have at least 3 sacks today. They're going to crush the Colts. It's going to be over before the end of the first half, and it's like, yeah, it will be a 28-3 at the end of the first half, and it would be nice because, just another thing to rub it in. But Jeff Saturday's shine is gone. You're going to realize why he shouldn't have been a coach and why they shouldn't have put him there as coach because this team is going nowhere.
My route is the Baltimore Ravens over the Denver, formerly Broncos, now Denver Ponies. Let's ride, baby. Ravens are going to blow this team out. I know they've only given up 14.2 games. I mean, Denver's got one of the better defenses in points allowed. But Baltimore's going to get their share today, and they're going to make it. This game's going to be over by halftime. And we're going to hear Russell Wilson say those two words. Let's ride. Denver blown out today by the Ravens. Shout out, JC.
Yeah, the only person he's saying let's ride to is Sierra, by the way. My shout out. I'm shouting at the NFL for their flex system. I get it. The Cowboys, you think, are ratings gurus. But give us Dolphins 49ers. You should have done it this week.
Yeah.
You will rectify it a little bit. Birdie has told me that Patriots Raiders is getting flexed out for week 15. Dolphins Bills will be Sunday night football. And how about this? The NFL has a problem with the Rams being a national television game over the month of December, including Christmas Day. Hey, gift to us, Broncos Rams at 4:30. Hey, gift to all of us.
Wow.
NFL, you got to get better at this flex system because you are getting pummeled this December.
Well, the problem with the flex system, JC, is the old you only can play 5 times in prime time, so – you know what? Then you got to stop giving it to them at the beginning of the year and hope at the end of the year they get better. So
But my shout-out is, believe it or not, is to the Bears-Green Bay winner because, you know what, you mentioned this earlier, Chips. The winner of this game will have 787 wins, the most in NFL history of any franchise. Look, they may not be elite right now, but they have been elite in past. And both teams, whatever team wins, the franchise does deserve the acknowledgement of having the most wins in the NFL, either the Bears or Green Bay. So the winner of today's game, unless a forsaken tie happens, will have the most wins in NFL history.
Good shout-out, guys. You're right. And there's something to be said for this, Joe. That, you know, Chicago and Green Bay may not be always be the marquee matchup. It is quarterbacks, and sometimes it's a black and blue game, if you will, for lack of a better term. But you can't argue with history. Those are two teams that have been around for a long time. It's a historical marquee matchup. It always is. Maybe not here in New England, but in other parts of the country, and you got to respect that. I agree. That's a good take, a good call on your part. I'm going with the Titans. I'm shouting them out because they're going to beat the Eagles today. I'm not sure. I think the Titans are going to rise up. I think Vrabel's going to coach his ass off. And again, Treylon Burks, I think they can do enough offensively to keep the Eagles and Hurts off the field offensively. I like the Titans to go and beat the Philadelphia Eagles today and tighten up that NFC East game, NFC East division with the Cowboys. Titans over the Eagles. We're going to stay Phillies.
Like it. My bust out comes on the heels of your route there, Mr. Chips. The Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, going to go for 3 scores and 300 yards of scrimmage yardage today as they had over the Broncos.
My shout-out goes to a guy that you guys don't think will be there, but Trevor Lawrence. I think he may have turned the page last week with that comeback. And look, the ability is there, the talent's there. Whether he can get it out of him, he's been playing with some pretty bad teams. I think he can turn around and have at least 3 touchdowns, 300-plus yards today against the Lions. Lions team may be playing well for their coach, but they do give up yards on the defensive side of the ball due to the air. And I've got Trevor Lawrence busting out, and maybe last week it's got him going in the right direction.
Well, now that the University of Southern California has played itself out of the college football playoff, fans may actually realize once again in the City of Angels that there is pro football being played as well, which is a secondary market when USC and UCLA are doing well. No Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, no Aaron Donald. We're not sure we're going to have a coach next year. He may go to the broadcast booth. But you know what, guys? It's about pride today. It's about that ring. It's about meaning something. It's about standing up, showing some life. You're beaten. You're bruised. You're battered. But it's the Rams. It's the LA Rams. We won the Super Bowl last year, damn it. Let's go out these last 5 or 6 weeks and show some pride. We may not be the best on the field. We may be missing our marquee players. We may not be flashy. But you know what? We're still the LA Rams. They win today. They defend the turf in LA. They beat the Seattle Seahawks in my bust out. Bingo.
Good bust out.
How about that? The fat lady is singing. Okay, guys. That's going to do it. We run the gauntlet today. Thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure. John and Joe, and I have a great football Sunday, you guys.
You too. Let it be profitable.
Have a good Sunday.
All right, guys. Good luck in your fantasies. When we once talk to you again, it will be Wednesday night. Like I said, we are joined by Howard Balzer at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on our Going Old School Wednesday show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you. Everyone, thanks for tuning in live or on tape. Have a great football Sunday. Take care, stay well, and be safe.